Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Jeff, how are we doing this week?
Not too shabby. Looking forward to another weekend, and actually looks like at least in the State College area, we might have some decent weather for a change on the weekend.
Decent weather on a weekend? That's just crazy talk, Jeff. I'm telling you, it's crazy talk.
It is indeed, but I'm just the person to engage in such talk.
Very good. I hope you're right. Jeff, we missed you last week. We had a substitute for you. Barry Fenchuk from the Board of Trustees was in, gave us a lot of information on this renovation going on with Beaver Stadium. It was a lot of great information, but we missed your take on all of this, and I'd like to get some of that. First of all, what's your excitement level for a renovated Beaver Stadium?
Well, it depends which part of me you're talking about. The part that is looking forward to seeing all kinds of different events and how the stadium is used is through the roof excited, because I do think this is a long time coming, and I think there's a lot of really cool things that will be done and that can be done, probably some that we're not even thinking of at the moment. Fiscally conservative me is worried on behalf of Penn State, but I do think there's a chance that this all works out the way the projections that that most of the trustees signed off on work. It worries me just because of the uncertain times we live in, both in a general economic sense and a college economic sense these days. And then certainly when you add in the uncertainty surrounding the NCAA and the future of intercollegiate athletics, it worries me. That being said, now that it has passed and that this is moving forward, I truly am hoping for the very best. I want everything to work out because, not only am I a Penn State alum and, lifelong fan and all of that, but I live in this area, and I understand the economic viability of the State College area in Center County largely depends on the success of Penn State intercollegiate athletics as a whole, and obviously Penn State football in particular.
You know, Jeff, full disclosure with everything, we had Barry Fenchuk on last week. The vote was 26-2 in favor of this, and Barry was one of the two.
Yep.
Okay. And I don't want to speak for Barry. I'll speak for myself. And I think I was labeled as a person who was anti-renovation. And I think, and maybe this is threading the needle a little bit, but to clarify, some of my issues were in the process of how this came about. And the decision making, not necessarily that there will be a renovation, but how we got from there to here. And how did we get to the $700 million point? How did we get to the approval point? And did we truly go through all the due diligence to look at the different options? So my next question, I guess, is with the $700 million, what are we buying with that? You mentioned, more events going on. And just playing a little bit of devil's advocate, we had the concert last month before all these renovations, and it apparently went off without a hitch. So I'm not sure what part of the renovations gives us the opportunity to do more events. Let me just preface this by saying the one thing that's been talked about a lot is, the hockey game. Okay. And count me as one. I'm not a huge hockey guy, but I would absolutely love to see the Penguins and Flyers at Beaver Stadium. I think it'd be an incredible event. And I realize the stadium needs to be winterized for that to happen. I get that. I'm 100% for that, Jeff. I don't think the winterizing the stadium is a $700 million project.
It certainly is not. And I'm with you on all counts. And I do think it's one of the things that I guess was disappointing to me is the number of people who were painted as, well, you're anti-football or you're not understanding the need for renovation. I truly don't know anybody. Anthony Lebrano, who we've had on our morning show up here, Barry Fenchak, who we had on our morning show up here, both talking about this before the vote and both sharing the concerns that they had with it. And I share those concerns in terms of the overall scope of the project, the uncertainty of exactly where that money is going and how it's going to be utilized, and all of that. And your point is a good one in terms of, you know, you just had 80,000 in for a concert with the stadium as is. I do think with the stadium renovations, there will be expanded opportunities. And by the way, it's not just the stadium renovation. And to your point, I think there's just a difference in mindset right now with this administration and with Pat Kraft's willingness to look at innovative and creative ways to generate revenue for Penn State Intercollegiate Athletics. With or without the stadium renovation, I think some of that was going to take place. I do think that in combination with the stadium renovation is an ongoing effort by multiple people. And I think Penn State is at least pushing in that direction behind the scenes, if not having a direct hand in it, is getting more hotel availability in the State College area. There's at least two immediate projects that are underway in the State College area for new hotels. And that is, again, an important component when you're talking about trying to bring in newer and different events, whether it be, you know, the potential of an NFL preseason game, an NHL regular season game, you know, things that we've talked about for a while, a wrestling match, called, you know, Penn State wrestling match at Beaver Stadium. You know, I was reading, I think it was Onward State, one of their columnists, and they just went through the individuals that were on staff. And it's like, what would you like to see here? And somebody said, you know, what about a World Cup game at some point? Or if not a World Cup game, at least an international friendly, if you will. So I think, you know, all of that is great. Yes, I'm with you. I think you can be pro renovation, pro Penn State football, trying to do everything to make them win, and still have concerns and reservations about a $700 million payment going out from you know, an athletic department that doesn't have $700 million. And again, I think relies on some pretty rosy projections in a very uncertain time. So I'm with you. I share all of those concerns, and but again, it passed now, and so moving forward, count me as somebody that, yes, I had my hand raised. It's like I don't think we need to roll out all of this in one fell swoop. I think maybe doing a few of the things that everybody agrees needs to be done, and then reevaluate in a year. Hey, are the, you know, is the money coming in the way we were hoping from donors? Is, you know, all of the different things that right now are out there in terms of revenue potential and expenditures that could be coming down the road. I'd rather they waited and got an overall handle. They didn't. We're moving forward. And again, I'm just telling you that I am somebody now that is just hoping for the very best, and that this all does work out the way, you know, the majority of trustees seem to think it will. And I genuinely do. I mean, I am not somebody that wants to be sitting here in 10 years saying, I told you so. This is what I was worried about. I really don't. I want this to be a wildly successful venture. I have some real concerns and am not overly confident about that, but I am really hoping that this does work out well, and that the people that voted for it will be able to come back to me in 10 years and say, see, we told you, you were worried for nothing. I really do hope that's how this plays out.
Well, I'm with you, Jeff. I do hope it will turn out, but I am still concerned with the process, you know, how we got from here to there. And might there, even though right now we can say, hey, it's over, it's done, the vote has happened, we're moving forward, stop worrying about it. Well, the problem is, what happens the next time there's something going on? Okay. And it's a bigger question than just the football stadium. It's pretty much the whole process. And is there a situation where there's been some information put out? I suspect you've seen it, where many on the board just pretty much rubber stamp what's presented to them. They've been on the board for years and have never voted no to anything.
Yeah.
Which means, and some might say, hey, that's probably the way it should go. You hired people to do this process for you. Trust them. Well, I'm not sure I'm just blindly going to trust. I'd like to verify some of that. And I think some of the financial information, I think, what did you call it, a bit rosy or optimistic? I guess I'd like to see a little more supporting evidence. I'd like to see, you know, what are we getting for our $700 million? I'm not sure it's really been spelled out yet.
It has not. And I think that is one of the, again, very real concerns moving forward. And listen, there, it's not like it is a multifaceted issue. And, you know, part of this, Jim, in fairness, is that I do think there was a lot of neglect over the previous 12-year period, which is not anything with this current administration. And there were obviously some mitigating reasons for that as well. But I'm with you. I just don't know that this needed to be done in one fell swoop without – I would have preferred a more measured approach. And again, let's take care of what has to be done, immediately get that done, and then kind of reevaluate, all right, do we have enough that we can confidently move forward with what we want rather than what we need?
Exactly, Jeff. I've still got more questions for you as we move forward. It is exciting. I'm dying to see what we get with this new renovation. And it as you said, it's coming no matter what. It's going to be here. Let's hope it works out. But I have more questions. We'll hit that in quarter number two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking about the Beaver Stadium renovation. Jeff, I think we both expressed concern over, you know, the process. Are we going too fast with it? What are we getting for the $700 million? I'm not sure it's all spelled out. Can you tell our listeners, what do we know about the renovation? What are we going to get that we are aware of?
We know we're going to get improvements to the press box, Jim, and that's been a long time coming. So count me as somebody happy about that. And, you know, some of us have been waiting 33 years, 34 years for those improvements to be coming. One of the things that I just I wonder about is with the additional luxury boxes or suites that are going to be coming in place. And I'm not sure what details are or aren't, you know, shored up there. But all of that presupposes that people are going to want those. And at the moment, I think that is probably the case. It does not take much in terms of not winning at the highest levels. Like I worry that after a couple of 8-win seasons or a couple of 9-win seasons, and I hope Penn State just does nothing but win at least 10 games and starts putting together a run of undefeated seasons and all of that, and this is a non-issue. But it seems likely that over a 10-year period or certainly a 20-year period, you're going to have a little bit of a downstretch. And I wonder, and I'm not telling you I know one way or the other. I just wonder whether the money that is, I think, being counted on from those suites as part of the mix, I realize that's not, it's not the suites have to sell out or bust, but that is an important component and they're going to go for a pretty penny. And I worry with the economic climate, the always uncertainty of, you know, your team and its success on the field, that revenue stream that is being presumed here will always be there. The winterization was already approved. I mean, that's a separate expenditure from this $700 million. That obviously is important for the playoffs and to allow, year-round use of the facility for other events. And I think that will create some additional opportunities. But again, that is not part of the $700 million project here. That was already approved in the previous $70 million expenditure. So we don't know a lot, or at least I don't know a lot. I know they're talking about it will be improved, and I know there are plans that were released in terms of improving the circulation, meaning the ability to get in and out of the stadium a little more efficiently for the fans. I do think that's important. But, you know, one of the challenges, and that's not addressed, and I'm not sure that it can be addressed. I'm not sure what the answer would be. But really, there are some problems certainly getting into the stadium, and I know that the gates get backed up and all of that. But after the, like, night games in particular, getting out from the stadium, I don't mean out of the stadium, but out from the parking lots, is always a bigger challenge. And that's not addressed as part of this project. And again, I don't know, that may be one of those where it's, well, that's just the situation. You got to live with it. And we've been living with that, you know, fans for a long time. You understand, hey, if you're going to the night game, you're not getting home real quickly afterward. But those are the things that I think, if there was a way to try to figure out, and again, that would involve more than Penn State, and I understand that. I'm not throwing that on Penn State, but it's just we don't know a lot, or at least I don't know a lot about exactly the value that Penn State is getting for that money. And in listening to Barry Fenchak and Anthony Lebrano and others, it sounds like other schools have had similar plans and have been able to come up with a much more affordable way of executing those plans. And so, it's still a concern. Again, like I said, I'm just kind of at the point where I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope that this all really does work out the way I think the optimistic trustees are believing it will.
A couple things. Let me start with the press box conversation, Jeff, which that upgrade, I'm assuming they're just going to take down what is currently there and put up a new one.
I would think that. I don't know. That's actually a good question. I'm kind of thinking that would be the best way to go, because I think you want to do a different front. I'm hoping you want to do a different front. Where there's better visibility from anywhere in the press box. You know, right now, for those that don't know, And I realized the average fan is like, oh, yes, woe is me for the media stuck up there on those cold or rainy nights in the warm, nice press box area. But there are seats up there where you can see the scoreboards and everything pretty well. And then there are other seats where, not so much. And, you know, I've been to enough other stadiums and press boxes, and there are not all stadiums, but most of the other stadiums I've been to, you don't have seats in the press box where you can't see the stuff. And again, I'm kind of half kidding when I talk about, I mean, the press box does legitimately need upgraded. I'm not actually crying or whining about the experience. I get the good fortune to, for a livelihood, get to go cover sporting events, and I don't take that for granted. But I'm like you. I guess I don't know that, Jim, but I'm assuming that they're going to want to build a new press box and kind of have some more, standard modern day features in it for the media, and not just the media, for the folks that work at Penn State. To have a little better experience on game days.
Well, I come from this from a little different angle. I've only been part of the media for the last few years. I spent years, first in the bleachers and all around the stadium. And we had a guest on our show many years ago before I actually appeared on our show. It was always in the background. And they complained about the press box. And I'm like, No, people do not want to hear that, because it's 72 degrees, it's warm, you're away from the elements, middle of November, you're not sitting on a cold metal bleacher in freezing rain, and in the press box, they feed us, Jeff.
Okay, they do indeed.
And I went to the Auburn game and was in the press box there. The press box was beautiful. They served you like a box lunch, Jeff, okay? A cold sandwich. Forget it. I will take the Penn State food and the old press box way ahead of the nice Auburn press box with a lousy lunch, okay? So maybe that just expresses what Jim's priorities are, but that's the way I look at the press box, Jeff.
Well, that is a true media. You have become a true media person if the food is the driving force behind your assessment. And again, I think Penn State, it is not like it's an awful experience up there, but I do think that press box needs improvement. There's also, I think some areas of the stadium, and I think the press box is one of them, where there are some rust issues and some other infrastructure concerns. And I think all of that stuff needs addressed. And I hear you, and I also don't think there are a lot of fans sitting there feeling sad for the poor media. Nor do I believe they should. That's not the point. But I think if, it's kind of the James Franklin approach. And again, you can argue against it and disagree with it, and that's fine. But part of this whole thing is you're competing or trying to compete on the biggest stage against the best programs. And part of this is, yes, does James Franklin need a nifty, huge office? Probably not. To his assistants? No. But is it part of the overall impression when a recruit comes in? Yep. And I think kind of same thing for the media. It's not even as much. I mean, it is partly the media that's on the beat and covers Penn State, but it's the visiting media, and it's also creating, a better experience for if you do – presumably you are going to get a lot more media covering a lot of different events in here. And it's part of that overall impression. Hey, boy, that Penn State experience, man, those guys were big time. That press box was cool because it had these features and those features. And I mean, I don't even know what some of that stuff would be. But you want, you know, nice, clean restroom facilities. You want, yes, food that is, and that is, I agree with you, very well done already by Penn State. The food they serve is wonderful up there, and it does add to the experience for the media. But it's the same thing with the fan experience, right? You're, like, part of this, hopefully, is that it's going to be, you know, a more comfortable, more enjoyable experience for the fans as well. And again, all of this is, you know, with the idea, I hope and I think, to make this a better experience for the athletes who come through Penn State, so that they are getting a good experience, but also being put in the best position to contend for Big Ten and national titles.
Yes. Now, one could question with how much correlation there is between the two, you know, the upgrading of the stadium, the press box, does it translate to something on the field? And if you look at this as a both a business venture and a venture to make the product, by product I mean the performance of the football team, better, that's a whole nother issue, another question of, is that $700 million well spent this way if we're looking to put a better product on the field? I'm going to ask you about that, Jeff, when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number three. We're talking about this $700 million renovation of Beaver Stadium. And part of the question, Jeff, is what are we getting for the money? And how much is it? You mentioned the luxury boxes, and hopefully the demand will be there for that. I question, do we know? Was that investigated? Was it, you know, polled that, all right, we have X number of luxury boxes already. Are they sold out? What's the backlog look like? Is there pent-up demand that these things would be, you know, pre-sold even? You know, how about, you know, the club seats, that type of upgraded seating, which, do you know, Jeff, is that sold out? It appears that in a lot of games, the club seating is far from full.
Yeah, I don't think it's sold out. And, you know, this is the other part of the equation, Jim, and it's why, my preference would have been that they just kind of rolled this out one phase at a time, paid for it one phase at a time, and kind of reevaluated that, hey, all right, let's hold off on this maybe a couple of years until we see how some things shake out. Or maybe, you know, after a year, it's like, yep, we need to keep moving full steam ahead. Look at the, you know, numbers that are up in terms of revenue and the events that we're selling out and all of that. I mean, that would have been my preference, but, you know, that's not the way, obviously, they went. I do also wonder, Jim, and I've listened to the arguments, and I guess I can kind of understand them either way, having never been a big-time college football prospect. I can't entirely relate, but I would like to think that whether or not one coach has a bigger office than another or a nicer wooden desk or The weight room is, you know, another 100 square feet bigger than another one, but that would not make a big difference. What, you know, what the people who advocate that will tell you, or at least what they've told me over the years, is, listen, no, nobody's going to make the choice based on Ryan Day versus James Franklin's office size. But it is the overall impression of the commitment to the football program. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with this. I'm just telling you this is the argument that recruits will get home and it's like, boy, that Ohio State, you know, the overall experience, that weight room was bigger, more impressive, those offices, and that there's this feeling that, okay, that school is all in. That school was pretty much in. Again, I guess I come from from the old school thought where it's like, as long as you have weights, you can go lift. It doesn't matter how nice or nifty the room is. And in some ways, you know, my preference would be to be in an old kind of dank room. Kind of the same thing with the wrestling room, like a great smelling brand new wrestling room. That doesn't seem like a wrestling room to me. A wrestling room is supposed to smell a little dungy, very sweat soaked, and there's supposed to be, you know, a certain feel to it. And I think, you know, that's just kind of, I guess, the old school thinking that I come from. But whether or not, how much of that ultimately makes a difference, I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody can give you a definitive answer. And even if you surveyed all of the kids on everything that went into it, again, those answers are going to vary so greatly. And, you know, a kid may or may not be influenced by it and even realize it and may not admit to it even if they were, and all of those things. So I don't know. I have questions and reservations about thinking that stuff is as important as it's made out to be. But I will say it is what all of the so-called elite programs are certainly doing, is it's, you know, a constant battle to have as great of facilities as whatever the next guy that you're competing against has.
First off, Jeff, if you made reference to sweet-smelling wrestling room, I think that's an oxymoron.
It is indeed.
I don't think that is something that exists, nor should it. All right, no. I'm going to Jeff, there were essentially three ways to go with this stadium. One was very limited, winterize it, get yourself safe, make the stadium work. There was the renovations that they did, or there was new stadium. I'm going to present the argument for the other two, and I want you to respond and let me know whether you agree, disagree, or not. Let's start with the minimalist. Players already talk about the whiteout as one of the great experiences. Fans talk about it as one of the great experiences. Non-Penn State fans have coming to Beaver Stadium on their bucket list. And I think those who experience it don't walk away pissing and moaning about the flow in the concourse. It's the whiteout experience. And financially so, you still get over 100,000 people in for this experience. So why do you need major changes if you're already selling out the product, Jeff?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things, too, that I think factor in here, Jim, which is I do think there was a lack of attention given to Beaver Stadium. And I'm just talking about the general maintenance. I think if you... John Hook did a column up here at statecollege.com that you can check out and had some interesting numbers. I don't have the exact numbers, but very slightly, the amount of aid going to the student athletes dropped from 2011 to 2023. And the percentage of the money that went to salaries, coaching salaries and administrative salaries, not surprisingly, went up pretty substantially. But the facilities, the money going to facilities over that period also dropped. So, I think there's a combination of things that have occurred here. And I think, part of this was maybe just a lack of foresight or attention to keeping the facility in good shape. Now, we're not talking about a $700 million project, but I do think there were some things, not from a safety standpoint, but I think there were some things that, Penn State kind of dropped the ball on in terms of taking care of Beaver Stadium and really some of the other facilities around campus over that 12-year period. So part of this is, yes, did it need some attention? It did. Winterizing it, I do think, is important, and I think pretty much everybody's on board with that. I don't know any of the current trustees, and I'm not sure I've run into anybody who's like, no, we should not spend any money on winterizing the stadium or any more upkeep or anything like that. But I'm with you. I think that spending the money initially to winterize it, that makes sense. Getting some maintenance done again, talking to a couple people, and I don't know this. I'm relying on people that are more in the know. It's like, yeah, there are some rust issues. They need addressed. It's not terribly expensive. It needs addressed and probably needs addressed sometime within the next couple of years. So I think there were some expenditures that needed to be made. I do think that the west side of the stadium, the press box side, needs some improvements. Now, the degree and the cost of those improvements, probably debatable. I think those discussions, I would have liked to have seen more public discussion on, okay, what are some of the options there? What are some of the things we could do? And again, I'm okay with kind of piecemealing some of this together and saying, all right, again, we want or feel like we need to do this, and this is kind of an immediate concern. Let's figure out the expenditure at the moment to get that done. And then, again, reassess, see where you're at financially with all of the changes that are coming, the TV contracts, the payouts to the student-athletes, all of this, and, roll it out, again, one thing at a time. And I hear what you're saying. I mean, they obviously have done very, very well and have a great reputation, as you said, for the whiteouts. And I think for the other events they've had at the stadium with it as is. That doesn't mean that I don't think you should be looking at improving, restroom facilities or even concessions and some of the other things. Again, I think this could have been done in a more gradual process. But in fairness to the current administration, I think that gradual process probably should have started 12 years ago in terms of looking at some of this. I mean, part of this was just a lack of foresight, I think, over the last decade plus.
Yeah, probably the thing that you're saying, Jeff, that I agree with the absolute most is that gradual process. Do things one step at a time and get where you need to go, because there are things within the stadium that they can make it a better experience for everybody.
Yeah, and I think, again, some of it does all of the things that I've heard talked about, it's like, oh, yeah, that would be nice. That would be neat. Again, some of it I think is a little more urgent. A lot of it I don't think is, absolutely needed right at the moment. And I think, my preference, and again, I'm a fiscal conservative, so it's just my nature, but it's like, hey, start a capital campaign, see what you can raise, and then move forward rather than move forward and then see if you can raise it on the back end.
That is something that Barry pointed out last week, that other place, Nebraska, did exactly that, didn't raise the money that they expected. And they pulled back a bit on the level of renovation that they were doing. Now, Jeff, when we come back, I'm going to surprise everybody after I've taken the tone I have these last couple weeks. And I'm going to argue with you why, hey, why don't we just build a new stadium? I'm going to talk about that, Jeff, when we come back. So you've got the break to get ready for that discussion. Stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're laughing a little bit because we were just chatting in between segments that, yes, I'm now going to argue, Jeff, for why we should have gone for a new stadium.
I have been spending the entire break trying to prepare myself for this, Jim. I think I'm ready to hear you.
Okay, hear me out. Hear me out, Jeff. Now, first of all, I'm going to start with the $2 billion. And I'm going to question that. And where that number came from and why it has to be $2 billion. And it may be the case. I don't know. I'm not a construction expert. I'm not a stadium expert. But I looked around at other facilities that have been built over the last decade or so in college football, like the Minnesota Stadium, the one I brought up before on the show. South Florida is getting ready to build a brand new stadium for $350 million. Now, it's only going to seat 35,000, okay? But it's brand new stadium. And if we just, to make our math easy, a comparable stadium for 100,000 people, if you extrapolate, that would be $1 billion, not $2 billion. And you would think it would be even less because you have the economies of scale. Is it just they were looking for a Taj Mahal, you know, something with a roof on it? I don't know, but I'd like to know how it got to $2 billion for a new stadium when that – and I realize that there are NFL stadiums you talk about in the billions for those. In the college stadiums, it hasn't been the same. And also, if you go back to Heinz Field or the Link, even in today's dollars, it would not be $2 billion. And the other part of the argument, I think, for the new stadium, two things, in fact, Jeff. One is when they put this out, it's then, okay, we're doing this renovation, and that's it, essentially, for the next 30 years. How many years before everyone's still sitting on those bleachers? 30 years from now, is everyone going to say, oh, that's okay, and we need no more renovations, Jeff? And with a new stadium, now they're talking about additional revenues for a renovated Beaver Stadium. I would think the opportunities for more revenue would come with a new stadium a lot more so than a renovated Beaver Stadium. Jeff, that's my argument for a new stadium. What do you think?
Well, the seating part is interesting to me, Jim. So I'll start there because, you know, my idea was to build a 200,000 seat stadium for the $2 billion. And yes, I was going to have it be a mobile stadium. So we would move it to different parts of the state for different times of the year, move it out on the north end of town for certain games, south end for others. The price tag I thought made sense and all of that. In all seriousness, one of the things that does concern me about the current project, and we talk about the, you know, we're not certain what we're getting. Pat Kraft has said a couple of times that having that 100,000 mark is important, but he isn't saying the 107,000 mark is important. So that I'm interpreting that, I think, accurately as the possibility is there that with this project, there will be some lost seating. Now, it doesn't sound like a ton of lost seating, but, you know, doing the math, maybe 6,000-7,000 seats fewer, up to 6,000 or 7,000 seats fewer than what Beaver Stadium currently has. I think that it is concerning to fans who, for a whiteout game, right? Like, there's fans that would like to go to those that can't because they can't get tickets or can't get tickets that they can afford anyway for those games when the market gets to where it does for some of those. So the one of the things with a new stadium that I would agree with you would be preferable is you can create more comfortable seating. One, I know it's hard to believe, more comfortable than the metal bleacher without a back. Yep, even more comfortable than that. But I also think you could build it where it's more, even more kind of up and down, where the noise can be even a greater factor. And I know Beaver Stadium's considered the noisiest. I mean, all of that. But I think there's some things you can do or would be able to do to enhance that. You know, certainly from an amenities standpoint, you can really kind of pick and choose and figure out, all right, this is the best laid plans. Now, one of the concerns I would have had with the new stadium, although quite frankly, I have it with this project, with the way it is now being unfolded, and it's to your point, this is a 30-year finance project that Penn State has entered into, Penn State Athletics has entered into. The if you built a new stadium, right, it is state of the art, it is brand spanking new, everybody loves it, and then 15 years into it, people are like, well, yeah, this is nice and all, but look at what those guys did with their new stadium that they just built a year ago or 2 years ago, or the renovation over there. That so that no matter what you do, right, there's in about 15 years there's going to be something that it's like, man, we probably need to add this or do this.
Could I interrupt you there for a second?
Absolutely.
Jeff, wouldn't you have more of that issue with this renovation, because a good portion of the stadium is currently already over 60 years old. So in 15 years, it's going to be 75 years old versus that 15-year-old new stadium.
Well, potentially, I do think, Jim, part of the equation, and this is what I also worry about with this plan, is I do think, and I don't know what the numbers are, and I don't even know, I mean, I'm talking a little beyond my knowledge base, but the maintenance component of this is important, right? Staying up to date in terms of making sure everything is safe. It's a metal structure. You've got to make sure that everything is being taken care of and maintained on a regular basis. And that's whether you do the renovation or a new stadium, that there has to be the maintenance part factored into it. And I think there's some things you can do either way to make that maintenance component more effective and hopefully more cost effective long term, because you're addressing, it's just like a car. If you're taking care of it and you're somebody that knows what they're doing, unlike me, and you're always doing the oil changes when you should and all of that, right? You can make a car run a really long time very effectively and very efficiently. But if you neglect it for a few years, and again, I'm just going by the numbers here, it seems like Penn State has neglected the maintenance part to some degree. And I'm not sitting here telling you it's been horribly neglected and, you know, it's been awful. But it seemed the numbers would show that it has not been a priority anyway for Penn State over the last 12 years or so. So And I'm not sure with this project, if part of the $700 million is, hey, part of this is going to be used to make sure we're in good shape annually for the next 15 or 30 years of this project. At first blush, it seems like that maybe is not part of the $700 million, which to me would be concerning if it's not. Although at the end of the day, yes, that's a big part of the concern is we don't know exactly what that $700 million is going toward.
Yeah, that's it. And that's why, and neither one of us can speak from knowledge about the cost of a new stadium. But I think it's worth the question, why do we get that $2 billion price tag for a new stadium when, yeah. you know, it fits, yes, does that fit in line with what we see in Las Vegas or Los Angeles for NFL stadiums? Based on what I've seen, it doesn't, though, fit with what we've seen for college stadiums or even, you know, like I said, Heinz Field or the Lincoln Philadelphia, which is construction from not too long ago. If I were, you know, use the analogy of a house that I have and I want to buy a new house, has anyone asked the question, gee, what kind of house could I build for $1 billion, okay? Here are my requirements. I need 100,000 seats. I need so many luxury boxes. And oh, by the way, I need the acoustics to be a certain way so it stays as loud as the old Beaver Stadium.
Yep.
What could I get for that? And I'm not sure that question was asked.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And, you know, again, I think these are all discussions that I at least wish would have been aired publicly. And, you know, at the end of the day, speaking for myself, I'm okay if people make a decision that I disagree with, if they can just openly explain, okay, this is why we did it. Well, I disagree with you. I think that was, you should have gone this way. But boy, I can respect you. This is why we did it this way. This is the thought process we use. This is why we came to the conclusion we did. Again, I feel much better about that, even if I disagree with the ultimate conclusion, because it's clear that it was thought out and that there was reasoning behind it. I think one of the concerns for many of us with this one is we just at least have not heard the logic laid out as to why this figure, $700 million, what exactly is involved with it, and you know how confident or why you're as confident as you are that it will ultimately pay for itself and then some.
Jeff, I'm going to make that the final word because I agree with that 1,000%. You presented it very well, and you presented what I think are not just my concerns, but the concerns of a lot of people, where it's not, hey, I'm against a renovation or new construction or anything new. It's you didn't explain to us exactly why. I know they had that PowerPoint and threw out numbers, but I wish they would have explained them a bit better to all of us. All right, Jeff, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.